motion by Guy Olson and Cody Olson. Your second. Most of you will know and remember that our former chair, my immediate predecessor, was Mary Olson, who incredibly loved history, did so much to try to make this museum the place it is today and beyond. She had a real vision. And like when Debbie was chair, with her husband, also Paul was here all the time, Kai and often Toby became part of the team, and we really appreciate that. When Mary passed about a year ago, we wanted to think of a way to honor her. We established Mary C. Morrissey Olson Historical Preservation Award to recognize people and institutions that have done something special for the history of this town. And last year we awarded that to Dean College for taking care of the cemetery right across the street from Mary's house. And you can pass this to our very kind and helpful historian to your right, and maybe read it out loud. This is in honor of you, Joe. Wow, pretty soon you'll actually be a historical treasure.
The Historical Museum presents to Joseph Land in recognition of his work as a researcher and historian of the town of Franklin, the Mary C. Morrissey Olson Historical Preservation Award for 2025.
That's the important part. Big Black, which lives out there, and there's plenty of room for more people to be honored, so get to work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That's
very nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, very well. Usually I say, you make sure you go there, but you're already here. That's great.
Great place, Alan does a wonderful job. I love the way they just moved all the display cases away and everything, made a nice area. Plus, in another month or so, Scott Mason's going to be putting his railroad dioramas in here and needs all the room he can get. So, make sure you come see them. Scott does a really wonderful job of detailing all the railroad, the railroad depot area. The latest one he did was down the Franklin Middle School area. So make sure you come see that. So the YMCA. Now, when you look at this building, you think, what architect would have designed a building like that? I mean, think about it. I mean, typically buildings are, square or have some shape to them that, but look at that thing. It's like, wow. There's a reason for that. Here's a Google Earth. I love Google Earth because it really shows what it looks like today. Here's the post office, where it was Bay Bank and Bank of America. And that's where the YMCA was, in that area right there. He had the Emerson Street. So here's what happened. I'm going to be showing you a house that was on the corner of Dean Avenue and Main Street in a few minutes. And Harry Haywood bought that house. And in the back of the property was a shed, a garage. And so when he bought the property, the garage was there. That garage was existing. And then when they decided to build the new YMCA, they said, okay, what we'll do is we'll build a gymnasium, and we'll connect the garage with the gym with that construction. We'll talk more, we'll get into more detail about that in a few minutes. That's basically what happened. That's why it's such a unique shape, if you will. Here's one of those Sanborn maps that I was telling you about. You can see the Charles McKenzie house. Charles McKenzie is the previous owner when Harry Haywood bought it. Charles McKenzie was the guy that developed the what today's Franklin Mill storage. That was the McKenzie mill. He died in 1891, and then Harry Haywood bought it from him. And then in 1903 or so, Mackenzie's widow died, and her estate sold the house to Harry Haywood. So that's, you can see the shed in the back. That kind of show a little red line showing where the new YMCA would be. But that was the beginning of it right there. That YMCA building, that brings back a lot of memories for me because, as you can see, three houses down, that's where I live, right on Dean Avenue. That's Dr. Abbott's house. In fact, Dr. Abbott's desk was right there. That was in the house where my parents bought it. My wife and I donated it to the museum. But anyway, so I can remember walking around the aisle and everything, walking through there, to go to Emmy Street. And they even had a tour of it one time. Now, Charlie Lawrence at one time a caretaker for that building.
He may have all of them. So he owned the diner.
Yeah, right. Look at that. The reason I say that, when I was younger, I was probably about 10 or 11 years old. The guy said, hey, I said to him, well, I'd love to see the inside of that building. And he said, you want to go in? Yeah. So he took me through, and we went through, and I saw the bowling alleys down in the basement. And so that was kind of cool. So I think it was Charlie Lawrence, but I'm not really sure.
I think it was.
Might have been. So that's my memory of that. And I saw this, in all my research, I saw this clipping that came from 1895. The clipping says, a young man's Christian knee have engaged the hall of Spears Block. So I'm not sure if that was, I can't really say that we can't point to the YMCA's beginning there. I don't think. In 1900, that's definitely when the YMCA began. But anyway, I pointed out what it's worth. If you're wondering where that spear block was, we all remember Jimmy's Ice Cream and Jimmy's Liquors. That's right there. The spear block was torn down, and that's where the A.J. Catala block stands today. That's East Central Street. That's where the town bridge is, I think. Just see the horse block. in the corner there. So that's kind of give you an idea where that picture was taken from. Ah, this is where the wine definitely started. Yeah, I'll read you a little stuff here. According to this notice in the December of 1900, the YMCA was successfully inaugurated in Franklin when 25 young men met in the music hall of the Red Cap Block. There was a music hall up on the second floor before they made offices up there. And that began the process of forming the YMCA. George Knight, the secretary of Hyde Park YMCA, was present, and he delivered an address encouraging the formation of an association. So this detail is taken from the 1888 drawing of the town of Franklin. That's the Metcalf block. I think the Bazzini store would be that building to the, that store to the far right. Give you an idea of what that is. So, in November of 1900, rooms were made available in that building. That building was the where Franklin Furniture was, and we call it the Morse Block. That's over on East Central Street. And so that's where they made some rooms available up there. They had a reception room, a social room, a little small gymnasium. And then, in January of 1906, they used some of the rooms in the Butman building. Now that building's still there today, that's the recent picture. Charles Butman is a man that developed that building back in the 1800s. That's a separate building from the Metcalf block. But anyway, that's where the YMCA met there. It's still small at that time. There's that house that was on the corner of Dean Avenue. That's where today's post office is. So Harry Haywood, he had a room at the Crescent House. Now, he wasn't married at the time. He was still a bachelor. And he was staying at the Crescent House. Now, the Crescent House, where the telephone company building is on the corner of Crescent Street, there was a big hotel there. That's called the Crescent House. And that's where he was living at that time. So he moved his goods into this house, which he recently purchased from Charles McKenzie's widow. And he will be hereafter be at home to his Franklin friends. So that's back in 1903. He only had to have a short time later. And the garage was in the back. Now here's from the drawing of 1888. And we're kind of looking where we're being at. We're looking towards the center of town. You see Main Street. See Evans Street, and there's the Haywood Garage. And you can kind of, if you really look at the shape of it, you can kind of see the shape of that garage as it looked like when you saw the YMCA building. You can see the windows in the front, the dormers, and everything. So that was that garage. Now, obviously, this is a drawing. It was drawn from the ground. I mean, I marveled at the guy that drew this, or the one that drew it, because they didn't have the advantage of being up in the sky looking down like a Google Earth, so they had to do it from the ground and make the drawing that way. The level of detail is just like, wow. You know, think about that. Yeah. That garage was added in 1887. Now, I'm going to read this. In 1910, the association was established to design and build the YMCA building. And it was now owned by Harry Haywood. And the committee got together and said, you know, we really think this building is suitably adapted for the purpose of what we want. And so Harry Haywood said, well, I'll make a deal with you. Give you the whole property, the house and the garage, at a pretty good price. They said, well, we really don't need the whole property. We just need a piece of land up the back where the garage is. That'd be good enough. And that's what they did. So then they formed the committee for a fundraising drive. So Secretary Colburn, Charles Colburn, He was associated with Mr. Ward in most of the great campaigns of building campaigns. So they raised 100 of the most prominent businessmen and professional men of the town who were quietly organized into 10 teams of 10 men under the leadership of Charles A.R. Ray. And Dr. C.E. Abbott, he was a local dentist. Dean Chilson was a civil engineer. Floyd Hosey was a businessman. Alvin Mason, he was the druggist, Mason Druggist. And Bertram Sherman, I'm pretty sure he was the postmaster at the time. And then what they did, they had this clock. Now, this is nothing more than a big poster board, I'm sure. And to change the hand, I think somebody would have to go up there and actually physically change it. I'm sure. That wasn't a real clock. And you can see it was on the building. Remember on Depot Street, the Ray block was there. Right where, if you went into Fico's shoe store or Disney's tailor, it was that door right there. So they put a large 15-foot clock up there. That clock had been used in Newton, Lawrence, and Wakefield. And it was placed on the Ray block. And it's illuminated and will be wound up tonight, ready for some public-spirited citizen to start it on its $25,000 quest. $25,000, that's what they wanted to raise to make the YMCA building. Of course, the citizens of Franklin will see to it that this clock keeps good time. It should not be allowed to stop even on cold nights. Okay. So, look at this. Only 5 days later, they had raised $10,985. That's 1910. You know, if you think about it, this is before 1913 when the income tax first came in. Well, Franklin really didn't have any money to really give to build this building. It had to be with generous people in the community. And that's why they did the fundraising. A magnificent victory. Just 11 days after the fundraising drive, they raised $30,000, that's $5,000 above their goal. So a splendid civic movement, the interest of which will never cease. Joy bells ringing the churches, so they made a real big deal out of it. So a wonderful victory. So now they've got the money, let's do it. So the architect that was chosen for the new building was James Ritchie of Boston. He's a man of much experience in his profession, and he's completed an attractive set of plans for the new association building in Franklin. Specifications are now being drawn and the work is soon open for contractor bids. That's June of 1910. And then the contract was awarded. Out of the six bidders, the contract for the construction of the building was awarded to J.A. Monroe of North Attleboro. His bid came in at $1,200 less than the lowest bidder. We got the job. New YMCA building. Now, this is November. Work has progressed so far on the new set of the new building, it's now possible to see that we're going to have a splendid building. Now, one thing they did, the garage, they raised it up about, well, they say one story, but they raised it up somewhat. The construction on it was made out of terracotta blocks, upon which they put stucco plaster. And I remember as a kid, I touched the side of it, it was like rocks and everything, little pebbles and everything, kind of like the popcorn ceilings you know you have in the house. It was like that, it was rough. And I can think of one other house, in fact it was on Dean Avenue, that had that same finish. The Bizanti house at 49 Dean Avenue. They had the same finish on the house. Then by October of 1911, the building was pretty much complete. So now, you have to furnish it. You need all kinds of furnishing. So they said, well, let's have another kind of a fundraising drive. I would say people would like to donate some different things, things like a registry, a wedding registry. If you say, okay, you got a wedding, so what do you want to buy? What do you want to buy? Well, what do these people want to donate? The director has gratefully acknowledged the following gifts for the new building. And having the two gentlemen that wish to be anonymous, they volunteered to do a pool table for the game room. And so other people donated, somebody donated a draft granola of the very highest grade. The dormitory rooms have been furnished. I just got an email from my older brother. He said one time he snuck into the building as a kid and went down and played with the pool table. So that's what they did. They people donated a lot of things to furnish the building. There it is, on completion. This is looking at from the Dean Avenue side. And you can see, again, you can see that, I'm sure that that part was the garage door over there. And you can see how they raised it up. And you can see the floor underneath. They probably dug a bit of a cellar and underneath. And see what they did. There's the pool table. It's the only picture I could ever get of the inside of the building. I really wish I could see more pictures of it. They had a couple of bowling alleys down there. Remember when I went through there, they showed me that, showed me the bowling alleys, and some of the pins were still set up, so I took one of the balls and rolled it down and hit the pins. I'm pretty sure they were duck pins. I don't think they had candle pins back in those days, I would think. Definitely, there's no machines to reset the pins. You had to have some down there to reset the pins. Yeah, Franklin had so many bowling alleys. You wouldn't really even think about that, but there was bowling alleys downtown underneath the cinema, and there was all over the place. There was bowling alleys behind where Thunderbird Creators was. All over the place. But they weren't as sophisticated as today's bowling alleys, but there was still bowling alleys nonetheless. Unfortunately, House of Depression, 1938, and times were getting tough, and they had to make a decision. The director's faced with financial problems, decided to, things didn't get better. By June 1st, we're going to have to close up. So unless something comes up to change their decision, we're going to close up on June 1st. And so maybe they'll close up temporarily or maybe permanently. And they made the decision. The directors decided that the community could no longer support the operation. They're going to close the building on June 1st and announce that they have accepted the proposal of Excelsior Lodge of the Masons. Accepted free Masons. They voted on their meeting to create the YMCA as their future meeting place. Several committees were elected. In addition to trustees, to plan for the future. And they said extensive alterations to the interior of the plan. I'm sure they made changes to the suit Indians. Now here's a few of the Stanley Joseph films that I was able to get. Rigging, and they're going to put in these big steel girders. You've got to look at the size of that girder. One knot, there's a pulley there, and they're hoisting it up. I'm not sure what the girder was for. It went that way, this way, what was it supporting? I don't know, but there it is. And those windows were all blocked up after when the Masons were done using it. In fact, they had a big the insignia of the Masons, compass thing on that wall. Mm-hmm. I think I had it. I had to have gone this way. I still can't figure out what it was in wood. May of 1939, dedicated to the new Masonic temple.
One thing about Stanley Joseph, I've watched a lot of his films, and I'd love to look in the background. And time after time, you see people looking at him, it's like, they're looking at him and smiling, laughing a little bit, like, oh, there he is again. I'm sure that's what you're saying. Watch some of the faces. Oh, there he is. You see? No, but remember the Tom Poole, he was down there a lot, and you can see the kids looking at him, so they were standing around, like, looking at him, what's that guy doing? Well, the best kind of tuxedo is in bow ties and everything. The guy would go away. He said, no sense to go outside and smoke, not inside. One of the things I remember when I was about 14, 15 years old, I used to work for, I think maybe people remember a guy in Duke, Abyssinia, who was across the street from me, had a store called Vet Med Supply. So I was a kid, I'd worked for him. And in 1965, the post office temporarily moved out of the building and moved into the gymnasium of the Masonic Temple because they're going to expand the post office. They literally doubled the post office in size. So I remember going to taking packages and we'd walk in, we'd go around and we'd go inside the gym. And they had the desk all set up. It was a little mini post office for a while. So that's the only other time I went into that building, in the gymnasium. Other than that, I never went in there. But the Masons entertained at Ladies' Night, the first function of Excelsior Lodge. The distinguished Grand Lodge and district officials attended, and the new Masonic Temple, with dinner, entertainment, and dance. The ex-postmaster, Carl Carlson, was honored at a reception in recognition of his appointment as the district deputy grand master in the 28th Battle Road District. Then they dedicated the temple at a colorful ceremony in May of 1939. Grand Master Joseph Earl Perry was there. And a suite of 37 distinguished members of the fraternity were there as honored guests. And it was a concert to feature open house during the afternoon, dinner at 8 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and an address for the day. There it is. You can see that insignia, they also had one of what I was saying. I took this about, I think it was about 2010, I think. I came to Franklin, took some pictures and everything. That was one of them. But unfortunately, 2011, a big fire. That's what was left of the building. You can imagine my surprise. Now, I used to work up in Bedford. Every morning, I'd get in my car, I live in North Alamo. I'm driving along, I listen to traffic on the threes. And traffic on the 3, typically they're talking about traffic on 128, traffic on 95, whatever. And then sometimes it should stay away from the center of Franklin. There's been a big fire. Traffic on the threes is talking about the center of Franklin? What the heck could have happened in Franklin to cause that? I'm thinking, oh my God, is it a Metcalf block? Was it this? Was it that? It had to be a big fire to, you know, to be doing traffic on the threes. So the next day I went, and sure enough, that's what it was.
Wow.
You can see the girders. The heat inside wasn't just been so bad. It just, in fact, well, I'll show you the best picture here. The heat was so bad, Dr. Mercer's old house. It just melted the. But that's not really unusual. We have some friends in Pawtucket. You know, they have vinyl siding on their house, and there was a fire really further away than that, and they had damage to their house. So vinyl just, yeah, look at the roof. What do you mean? It's all great. I'm not really sure. Does anybody know? Yeah. I'm coming from Dean Abbott's side. Once the YMCA sold their building to the Masons in 1938, the organization went stagnant until 1972, when the North Attleboro YMCA and the Franklin YMCA merged to form a single Young Men's Christian Association. Now, there were two key decisions that were made at that time. The first was to make the Hockomock YMCA a regional one rather than for a single community. The second one was to make the Hockomock Y a family Y, with a variety of services from birth to the golden years, as opposed to a traditional Y where health, fitness, and recreation are stressed. In September of 1983, the Hockomock Franklin YMCA opened a program center in the Masonic Temple, the same building they had first called home back in over 70 years ago. But after a year at the Masonic Temple, the Y moved to a storefront operation on Cottage Street while once again renting out the space of the program. Does anybody know on Cottage Street where that was? I'm kind of curious. I don't know. And then in early 1988, ground was broken for the Franklin branch of the YMCA on Forge Hill. There were many people who helped make this possible, but two people stood up. There were Lee Robbins and Alan Burnham. Mr. Robbins, who was the president of L.W. Robbins at Franklin, provided invaluable leadership to two Franklin capital campaigns. The other person was Alan Burnham, who was the president of Gorilla Farms. He became the Franklin YMCA's chief benefactor and cheerleader. His family contributed $100,000 to the first capital campaign in memory of their father, Paul. $50,000 challenge grant was made for the Aquatic Center campaign with a gift of a new tennis court for the Y, sandwiched in between. It is for this reason that the Franklin Branch YMCA is named the Vernon Family Branch. Who knows who these two guys are? The same guy. Woody Allen. Among the participants in the groundbreaking ceremony was this man. It was Woodrow Woody Abbott, the longtime editor of the Woonsocket Call, who for more than half a century had been known as Mr. YMCA to the people of Franklin. At the ceremony, Woody said that the closing of the original YMCA in 1938 was one of the saddest days of his life, but he was pleased to be able to see the rebirth of a new YMCA 50 years later. He lived on School Street, and you'll love this,
He lives on School Street, his license plate was 59690. Now you're probably thinking, how the heck do you remember that? Well, my father was a license plate fanatic. And there were times when we'd go to the Grantham to visit my grandparents. We'd be going by the country club. Now, some of us probably remember, if you're going on 140 and you're going just past the country club, there's a rest area right there. And you can actually still see the wall. The houses are built there, but there was a rest area and picnic tables and trash barrels. It's like, oh. But we always saw a car park there, and that plate was 59692. And apparently, that guy's name was Steve Carr. And what he used to do is he used to go into the woods and get golf balls. So, every time we'd drive by, my father said, oh, this is 59692. So that was embedded in my head. So when I saw Woody Adams' plate, 59690, but that's nothing to do with the water. And today, that's what the facility looks like. Anybody got any questions? Or thoughts? Would you like to say something, Scott?
No. John, this the past 13 years, I've been the executive director of the Burton Family Branch, and this history is incredible. My staff are always shocked when I say it started in 1900. Because most of the people work at while you're in your 20s. Yeah. And they may have gone to the Air Force swimming lessons themselves or summer camp, but they don't know how far back it goes. And, now to see those from those humble beginnings to the point that it really is a meeting, frankly. We've been able to expand. I have that picture where from the late 80s, 90s in my office where it looks like a Cape Cod style house. And now it's 45,000 square feet. We're told, there's not enough room for all the things we want to do. So when I look at that, I'm really proud. I don't have a member here talking, we're not big enough for all the things we want to do. But I'm really proud. I mean, one of some of the things that really hit me was how right from the very beginning, people fundraised and got together. No central body of YMCA coming into this town and setting up this building and financing it. It was the town itself. 10 teams of 10 people. That's the first time I've kind of heard that story. But when we do fundraising now, we do a similar approach. Ambassadors and we recruit friends. But to see that, that there were 10 individuals, the YMCA regional folks were coming for 2 weeks and then leave. And then it was up to the town to keep it going from there. God bless it. Whatever that one was before the Great Depression, 27 years in the building, that's been on. We took the Great Depression. And part of I was at Bob Franklin Mall during COVID, and there were certain times where we lost half our members. A year and a half, we lost half our members. We're lucky we're in a position to come out of COVID stronger than we went in. So when I see that, how much it took fundraising to get this off the ground and running. The fact that it did well enough until things slow down and it gets the Great Depression that really put me on hold back on the program. Sold the building, kind of where it was at, the money that they made from the sale of the building they held on to and kind of found the Hockomock area YMCA because in North Attleboro, our more recent history, in North Attleboro, YMCA was struggling. It's also kind of running into some of its own financial issues. Right. And look to its neighbors in Franklin that had some funding. And they all made that bet that let's invest some money in North Attleboro. As soon as that has firm footing, Franklin will be again. There'll be another building in Franklin. And it played out exactly that way.
So, Scott. When the Y lost half of their members during COVID,
was that original association in early late 1800s, early 1900s? Was that the first YMCA in America, or was it just Franklin?
I'm not sure exactly when the YMCA actually began, but that was the first one in Franklin.
I think the first one in the U.S. was in Boston. Fox was by.
Oh, was that? Okay. Right there. Oh, that's. Okay. You went right on Huntington Avenue with
it? I think we did, yes.
Yeah.
Somehow, Joe, remember, what did you do in the, about the time of the release? The shot time, and on the story, the next story.
Yeah.
I remember there was a kid in the lobby.
I mean, that building, that was called the Chilson Block, and they did have a hall up on either second or third floor. Maybe they met there at some point?
Maybe, Ricky and Jeanette Santoro danced with them.
Okay, the prom dance studio?
Well, that was later.
Oh, that was later?
In the 60s.
Okay, yeah.
But, somehow, I didn't see it.
Yeah, it couldn't have been.
It was for shock.
Yeah. Because, well, think of it this way, that building was built in 1913, and this one was built in 1910, so they already had their wives here.
And that's gone.
He did.
He often.
Did he?
$100,000.
Yes? A quick question. I may not have caught it. My hearing isn't what it used to be. But you mentioned that Hayward owned house on the corner of Dean and Main.
Yep.
What happened to that house?
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what happened to that house.
Okay.
I'm glad you pointed that out. That house was moved. When they built the post office, they took that house, they moved it from one corner to the corner of Hemmings Street. They just moved it over. Yeah.
So it's where the bank used to be, or where that physical
therapy place is
now?
Yeah, but the post office was built in 35, so they moved it just at that time. Then, and when they built the bank, they tore it down.
Right.
In fact, I'll tell you another little funny story about that house when it was at its original location. The red block, where Pete Bank is today, that was the first red block. That building was just about ready to be completed. The Franklin National Bank was going to go in there, but they weren't quite ready for it yet. So Joseph Gordon Ray had just brought they brought the assets of the bank to Franklin. They didn't have a place to put them. So what they did is they put the safe on the porch of that building, and then they cut a hole in the side of the house so they could access the safe from the inside of the house. until it was done, and they moved it. The house has quite a little history to it.
Safes on the street.
What?
They don't put safes on the street.
Safes on the street?
Yeah, they don't put the safe on the front.
No.
Well, it's not inside the house.
Oh.
They don't do that anymore.
They don't do that anymore. I hope not. Wow. Anybody else have any observations or questions or anything?
Was it fun to stay at that YMCA? Was it fun to stay at that YMCA?
We won't make you do that.
Well, thank you, Joe. It was always a small step.
His son, Matt Damon, wrote a book that's about this thick. And he did not have the benefit of having the Franklin Sentinel online. He literally had to go to the library, get out the microfilms and everything. Wow. And phenomenal to what he did.
It's called child abuse.
When I saw Facebook, they said, the Franklin Sentinels are now online. Oh, wow. So I got online and my wife comes in. Just, aren't you coming to bed? It's 2 o'clock. It's only 2 o'clock. Oh, man.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming.
We need to come back.
Tomorrow.